Our first scripture reading is the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 49, verses 1 through 7. Listen to me, O coastlands. Pay attention, you people from far away. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away and said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward with my God." And now the Lord says, who formed me in the womb to be a servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and say that Israel might be gathered to him. He says, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by, abhorred by the nations, the slave of rulers. Kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves. Because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. In the shadow of his hand he hid me. He made me a polished arrow." Our New Testament reading this morning is John chapter 1, verses 29 through 42. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptized with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the chosen one." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. A man invited his girlfriend of 3 months to a party for his 13-year-old nephew. And she let out an audible "aww" and told him how sweet he was and that the invitation just meant the world to her. Well, then he had to explain to her that it was a search party. I'll think about it. Oh, okay, there we go. I recently received a wedding invitation. It read, "Your presence itself is a present. We don't want any presents at the wedding." After rereading it repeatedly, I concluded that I was not invited, so I decided not to attend. How both wedding proposals and wedding invitations are just getting out of hand. I mean, it's not just enough anymore to get a ring and ask your beloved if they will marry you. I mean, it's not even enough to go down on one knee and pop the question. Today, all bets are off. The ring is not just offered as dessert after a fine meal. It's in the dessert for them to find. There are even destination proposals, like a spontaneous weekend getaway to some private Caribbean island for a perfect private moment on the beach at sunset. Wedding proposals have become such a big deal that there's often a photographer ready to snap the photo for prosperity. Because you must have something to put on social media. And some proposals have even been incorporated on billboards or baseball scoreboards or the Jumbotron at a football or hockey game or even an airplane with a banner behind it. The sky is literally the limit. And of course, the proposal is an invitation to that special someone to unite their life with yours forever. But you know, fancy wrappings are not important. It's the simple truth of what's inside, a heartfelt invitation offered in all sincerity and love. I mean, that's all that really matters. And that is the question at the heart of today's encounter with Jesus, John the Baptist and two of his disciples are together. And John was doing his baptism thing there at the River Jordan at a place called Bethany when some priests and Levites from Jerusalem arrived to question him. And he told them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me, and I am not worthy to untie the strap of his sandal." And these words created a sense of intense anticipation, even more than when you receive a beautiful wedding proposal. And the next day, John saw Jesus and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Here, at the beginning of the ministry of Jesus, John the Baptist pointed people to the cross. John knew that Jesus was destined to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The baptism of John was like an invitation. His baptizing in the Jordan was conducted so that Jesus might be revealed to Israel. And Matthew tells us that Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. And the baptism of John was a very effective invitation, bringing people into the presence of Jesus for the very first time. No fancy restaurant or a Caribbean isle or even a large teletron. Only water. John had his own disciples, and in fact, some of them were still active many years after John's death. John was never interested in gathering disciples to himself. Instead, he wanted to point people to Jesus and to invite them to believe in Christ. And this happened when he said to two of his disciples, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." And they heard John say this, and they immediately followed Jesus. In addition to his baptisms, John's word about the Lamb of God were an effective invitation. And when Jesus turned and saw the two following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" And they really didn't give an answer. They just simply said, "Rabbi," which means teacher. "Where are you staying?" I mean, more than anything, they wanted to be in the presence of Jesus. And at this point, Jesus didn't give them a specific address. Instead, he said, "Come and see." And they responded by going to where he was staying. And they remained with him that day. Come and see is a simple but effective invitation. And it's one in the life of our church. I mean, here's a statistic, and I want you to remember this. In fact, I want you to write it on your heart and think about it a lot. Are you ready? In fact, you may even want to write this down as a reminder. Here's the statistic I'm going to give you. 73% of people who don't attend church were never invited. Think about that. 73% of people who don't attend church were never invited. Come and see. I mean, when was the last time you considered Jesus' call to us to be disciples and evangelists, sharing the good news of the gospel? I mean, do you have a neighbor or a family member or a friend or a coworker or even a church friend who has fallen away from attending church or a person whose path you cross regularly in your daily rounds who might simply be waiting to be invited to come to church, to come and see? And all you have to say in your own words, of course, is come and see. We don't need a fancy proposal or invitation. We simply need to invite them to a place where the risen Lord is alive and well, a place where they can come face to face with Jesus. More than anything else, the two disciples wanted to remain with Jesus, and he was happy to have them do so. One of the two was Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter. And he was so excited to be with Jesus that he tracked his brother down and said, "We have found the Messiah, the anointed one of God." And Andrew encouraged Simon to come and see Jesus. And he accepted the invitation and followed. And when Jesus saw him, he said, "You are Simon, son of God. You are to be called Cephas," which is the Aramaic word for rock, which is translated as Peter. And then Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he said to his first disciples, "Follow me." Come, see, follow. Jesus is all about effective invitations. Come and see, not turn or burn. He says, "Follow me," not "get your theology straight or else." More than anything else, Jesus wants people to stay with him and remain with him. Jesus was on the move throughout his ministry, and he's on the move today. On the road to Galilee, Jesus invited Philip to follow him as a disciple. And then Philip found a friend named Nathanael and told him about Jesus of Nazareth. And Nathanael raised the question, it's a great question, you know, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see." The very same words that Jesus had used with the disciples of John, "Come and see." And we can use those words today as we attempt to offer effective invitations to the people around us. Come and see a church that is trying to show the grace and love of Jesus. Come and see if Jesus is the fulfillment of everything that God has said and done. Come and see if Jesus is really the way, the truth, and the life. Come and see the place where Jesus is alive and well, and then make up your own mind after you encounter him. And the best way to do this is to practice Christian hospitality, to welcome people with love and grace, just as Jesus did, I mean, Jesus was famous for eating with tax collectors and sinners, embracing outcasts, and feeding hungry people without asking whether they really deserve to eat. Hospitality can accomplish what theological discussion and political debate cannot. It can build a community and make peace between antagonistic people. Theology and politics tend to divide people, but a shared meal can unite people at the level of basic human need, food and drink. Perhaps the clearest path to unity is through the stomach. We live in a world that is as multicultural as Galilee was in its time, because it was known as Galilee of the Gentiles. And our challenge is to create places in which people can. Everything we do should help people see Jesus clearly as the two disciples of John did by the Jordan River, and as Philip and Nathaniel did on the road to Galilee. In our fractured and polarized world, we need to create places in which Jesus can be discovered by people, where they can have a personal encounter. Lives will be changed if we show people where Jesus is staying and encourage them to remain with him. And the words of Jesus are always as an effective invitation. Come and see, so that we may follow. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.